at the Brad Blog. That is it. Until we meet again, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.
All right, Gamble Nash, sound engineering tonight for Youth for Justice on FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listeners supported. Community Radio, Sacramento Valley, of Foothills, and beyond.
The Butte Environmental Council is pleased to announce that voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, from 9 a.m. board of directors,
underwriters,
or volunteers. Our 32nd annual cleanup is an event dedicated to the betterment of the community and its environment by working together to keep our local parks and waterways waste-free. Volunteers will meet at Hooker Oak Park starting at 9 a.m. and will work until 12:30 p.m. Following the cleanup, an appreciation barbecue will be held at Hooker Oak Park and catered by Madison Bear Garden from 1 to 3 p.m. Every single year, hundreds of community volunteers and groups remove literal tons of waste and sort it to be recycled, reducing the amount sent to the landfill and out of our parks and creeks. The Beck Annual Cleanup is an all-ages event organized by Butte Environmental Council, the City of Chico, and many wonderful local sponsors that is free to the public. Please register in advance and find more information at becknet.org or visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/ Butte Environmental Council.
All right, this is KZFR 90.1 FM. Listener supported. My name is Isaac Kempsey. This is Youth for Justice. Every first Thursday of the month at 6 o'clock. Bring us to the world's talk.
That was King Crimson with Elephant Talk. So today we have some guests in the studio. We have David and Coco and Addison, who is here also. But David and Coco are family members of Desmond Phillips, who was murdered by the Chico Police Department about 2 years ago now. And he was a young black man, and we figured this is one of the most topical topics we can talk about in Chico relating to youth for justice and finding justice for youth. Here's David. Hello, David.
Hello. Thank you for having me on the show.
You're welcome.
I just want to basically let everybody know what happened. 3/17/2017, the real story. You know, the media, they let the police get theirs out, and we never get a chance to tell our story. So, the night of 3/17/2017, my son Desmond Phillips, he was murdered. He was actually murdered by, it was five cops. It wasn't the three that Ramsey and O'Brien claimed. It was a total of five. David Martin, Derek Ament were active shooters. I seen them. There's physical evidence in my apartment supporting that. Ramsey, he accounted, him and O'Brien accounted for 16 shells. A few days later, our puppy's chewing on an extra bullet shell. We turned it in to the Attorney General. And it was confirmed that it was Gagdebins. So if that was Gagdebins, where'd the extra shell come from? Again, I saw David Martin and Derek Ament. They were active shooters. It was a no-knock kick-in. They didn't knock on the door saying, Chico Police, open the door. No, they went around the back. My back door was open. It was unlocked, rather. And they radio up front saying that they were making entry into the kitchen. When they said that, the front door came flying open. Again, no words said to Desmond, put your hands up, you'll be tased, or Desmond, get on the ground, or you'll be tased. No. They kicked the door in, tased him 2 seconds, they opened fire, not saying a word. He was shot from every direction. And Desmond was shot over 16 times. We have five bullet holes that's coming from the kitchen area, but there were multiple more. They tore the wall out. But again, this is the real story that happened that night. I was there. I seen Desmond. When Desmond was dead before he hit the floor. My baby was dead before he hit the floor. I looked into his eyes. His eyes were closed. I seen Officer Fleer. He shot 8 rounds into my son when he was down. He was already down. The autopsy report confirms that. So my thing is, again, They did not name. They want to keep David Martin and Derek Amen out, but that's what we're going to do. All we want is the truth. Everything presented, all evidence presented, nothing withheld, and then let a jury decide. It was a cold-blooded murder. And all this took place within 2 to 3 seconds. After they entered that house, it was a couple of seconds. Again, they said nothing. They like to try to blame it on the family. Well, the father said he was trying to stab him. When they came in that door, who was around Desmond? No one. Who was Desmond trying to stab? No one. It took them 2 to 3 seconds, I kid you not, to murder that kid. He was dead. And they absolutely said nothing to him. I made a video. It's on YouTube and on Facebook. You can go view that and you determine what I'm talking about. Now, they had an expert witness that our lawyer hired, and I agree with him. They did tase Desmond effectively. The shooting was unreasonable. They were never in any danger that they couldn't have got themselves out of. I agree with that part. The part I don't agree with is the panic shooting. He stated it was a panic. It was not a panic shooting. It was a cold-blooded murder. And I'm still in the apartment, by the way, where my son was murdered. And I'm staying there until after the investigation is over with. But that's basically what I wanted to get out to everyone. The real story. Go on YouTube. View it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
From that night, what have you been going through since?
Oh, I've been going through harassment by the Chico PD, but I've been fighting. I'm not fighting just for Desmond now. It's for everyone, because I was blind, I kid you not, to this, but it started out as for my son, but it's for everyone now. You know, short months later, some of the same officers that murdered my son, they murdered Tyler Rushing right down here at the tile company. Yep. Some of the same officers, so they're repeat offenders, and they are still on duty. They're still patrolling our streets. Myra Megalizio, they were on scene 11 seconds, 9 to 11 seconds in Oroville. This is another Butte County murder, you know, and she was mental. And before she was 11 seconds, took them, what, 3 seconds for Desmond, 11 for Myra, and Tyler Rushing, they kicked in the door where he was already shot and murdered him off. So it's a problem here in Butte County, and it's a problem with D.A. Ramsey. D.A. Ramsey took my son's body to the next town. He sent our family on a wild goose chase for a week. We were trying to locate my son. Where's my son? He's at the coroner's office. Where's my son? He's at Bidwell Chapel. He was at Ramsey Funeral Home all the time, you know, and he hid my baby from us. So that's the type of DA and chief of police and police officers that we're dealing with, not only in Butte County, but across the nation. But here where we are in Butte County is their repeat offenders. And again, the true story, Desmond Phillips was murdered. I've seen everything that went down.
You're just asking for accountability. And
that's
the
all
truth,
I'm asking
really,
for.
Almost.
That's all we want. We want accountability. We want all evidence and facts presented, and let a jury hear the case and let them decide. That's what we want. That's what we're fighting for. So, yeah. I also had to release our lawyer, because he was not presenting all the evidence and facts, and I'm not going to have that, because I'm a parent, and I've seen these guys actively shooting my child. What would make him think that I would not go after three and not go after the other two that I've seen that was involved? See, everybody doesn't know, but there were five cops, not three, five, extra bullet casings, bullet holes in the toolbox foot high. There's bullet holes in my apartment that are foot high. Desmond was 6'1". So if he jumped up like Ramsey said and started swinging, he would have been shot in the ankle. You know? Yeah. He would have been shot in the ankle. So that's a total lie on his part as well. So, yeah, it's a lot to come out, and we just want accountability. That's what we're looking for. Yeah. And all the murders, and Desmond's, Tyler's, Myra's, all Butte County murders. All this needs to be looked into, you know?
Definitely.
Really.
So. Thank you. Yeah, I know from a previous interview I've done with someone in the education realm, he looks at the disciplinary, the discipline that our county enacts upon our school children, and our DA is, percentage-wise, moves more youth into adult court than any other DA in the state. I believe he's also been the longest-running DA right now.
Absolutely. Over 30-something years, and that's real scary.
Yeah.
It's real scary. Last I checked, I thought the DA is supposed to be for the people, but it's like the other way around. The DA is for the officers. And, yes, and there's something that's really wrong with that. It really is. I don't know.
Yeah. Do you have anything to add about how this has affected you, Coco, as the sister?
Well, it's had an effect on my family tremendously. That's the worst part for me is us wanting to hold them accountable. And it's just, it's so much disrespect. It's insane. It's a lot of disrespect just on my brother's name, on his character, on my family. It's a lot of disrespect. My family is so messed up from this. Like, our everyday life is not the same at all.
It never will be.
It never will be. Even when we do get justice for my brother, we still have to go around with this pain. That won't bring him back. It just won't. My brother was such a kind, beautiful, warm, everybody that came across Desmond Phillips, he was just one of a kind,
He was very good.
A 1,000%. Yeah. He never had an attitude. He never got mad. He never was in trouble. He was in church. He was just an awesome kid all around. I don't even know how he was just so good of a person. I really don't. But he is, and he was.
Oh, just facing God. God loving kid.
It's just crazy. It hurts a lot. Like I said, we'll never get over the pain.
How many?
We deal with it a lot. I'm not only fighting for my brother, but I'm fighting for my kids, my nephews, my nieces, everybody else's kids and nephews and nieces. That's what we're fighting for. Like, this has to stop. It just has to stop. It's ridiculous.
If I can cut in a little bit. Oh, you know the AB 392, it's a small step.
I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, well, it's the new law that we just got passed recently. What was it, about a month ago?
Less than that.
Governor Newsom, he finally signed that bill. But, again, the police union, they watered it down, you know, so they're happy. But still, it's better than what we had, you know. And we're waiting for that to get in the 1421, so maybe... You know, you can pass a bill, but will they act on it? That's the thing. You can pass all the bills in the world, but are you going to act on it? Or are you going to still be the corrupt, you know, the little corruption and a power trip and all that? You know, are you going to act on the new law? And they have to, because when the police, in our case, when the police get comfortable, when they get comfortable just kicking in your door where you live and murdering either you or your loved one, I tell you, two years later, we had a deposition, and these guys, they had no remorse. I sat from where I'm at to where you're at, across from the cops that murdered my son. And they had no remorse. They thought it was funny. They thought it was a joke. But see, we have to eat all that up. You know, we have to suck all that in. The media, we have to, all the negative stuff, but that's fine. That's fine. I'm going to weather that storm. We're going to weather that storm because they're not going to break us. We're going to keep on. We're going to keep on. We're going to keep on, and we're going to keep on. You know, we got the law changed, but, again, they watered it down. But we're going to keep on until they do get justice. So that's why this family was told by our lawyer for over 2 years that, yes, we're going to name David Martin and we're naming Derek Ament, the other two shooters that you've seen in there. We're going to, but it was a week before we first stepped into court. Then we were told, no, we're not going to name them. You know, it's too late, all this old crazy stuff. So that's why I dismissed the lawyer. Because, again, you're not going to hold anything back. You know, we want all evidence and facts presented.
Because we feel like if we hold anything back, we're not telling the truth. The truth will speak for itself. And then that way, when it comes to a jury, they can decide. Because they will have all facts. We don't want to leave anything out because that's not telling the truth. We want the truth.
Exactly.
And if there was five officers involved, then that's what we want. You know, that's
presented.
What we want presented.
Yeah, that's what we want involved. Standing trial for the murder of Desmond Phillips. You know, everyone there, and again, they were all active shooters. I'm an eyewitness. I was there. You can hear them on the 911 call. We're making entry into the kitchen. You can hear me screaming and yelling, no, 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 as they're murdering my son. The thing of it, I was on the phone with dispatch all the time until they started murdering him. And I dropped my phone, but it was still on. Thing of it is, they don't want this out. Mike Ramsey and Chief O'Brien, they don't want this to get out, but it's going to come out. Now that this family has been misled by the lawyer for 2.5 years about naming these guys, that's why I'm making videos. That's why I'm on this talk show right now. That's why I'm exposing them, you know. And again, it will get in the right hands. It'll get in the right hands. It will. It'll definitely get in the right hands to where some people will start going to be, you know, held accountable for what they did. No wrongful death. It's a difference. You can kill somebody. You can get in a wreck and kill somebody. But murder is murder. You know, when you murder someone, you go in there to take their life, to murder them. You know what I mean?
When you're that close to someone with a gun, you're going to kill them.
I
knew what they're going to do.
Exactly. And I was so scared. I mean, really, at that point, when I crawled to my son and I was hollering, there was all these officers around me. Now I'm surrounded too because I crawled on my hands and knees to my son. Now I'm surrounded with cops with guns yelling at me, get back, get back. So at that point, I feared for me and my grandson's life. So what do? You stay there and comfort your dead son, or do you get your grandkids out to safety yourself? And, you know, I don't know if we were next or not. I just seen a cold-blooded murder of my child. They could have turned it on me. They could have turned it on my grandsons and had no witnesses and made up their another big lie, you know. So there wouldn't be nobody here to tell the truth. And I'm here to tell the truth and nothing but. I'll take, polygraph tests, whatever they need. I'm serious. The truth is the truth. And it's going to come out. So, you know, it may take a little time, but we're not stopping. We're not. And it's bigger than Desmond. It's bigger than Desmond. It's bigger than Tyler, Myra, Breon, all of them, you know?
Hundreds.
It's hundreds, hundreds.
Thousands, probably.
And yeah, and then across there, we had five police shootings. I call them murders here in Butte County. Five within a year. And this is not no big city.
Right.
You know what I mean? This is not a big city. That's pretty high, you know? One is too high. But five? Wow.
So something on that bill you were talking about in the past, I forget the number.
AB 392.
Right. So my understanding is they changed. It's supposed to be the strongest protection against police shootings in the country. They changed where it said that a police officer has to have, like, it's got to be reasonable for them to use a firearm, and now they say it's got to be necessary.
Yeah.
But this doesn't address it when the question's impunity, and they say that it's like a panic shooting, right? And it's always like they had a reason because they were so scared at that time.
Exactly.
You know, like whatever, going through training, and that you should be more responsible with your firearms. But you got a dude like Ramsey who's making the decision, was it necessary or not, when they're just saying that you're a liar, and this doesn't get to it at all. Like, they're defending them on all grounds. They're not defending them on, like, it was reasonable but not necessary. Like, you don't hear that. So change the legal terminology doesn't address the underlying cause. Like,
exactly.
You don't have accountability. There's no community control. There's
exactly.
That, you hit the nail on the head right there.
Man.
Yeah.
So you've, I guess, you go through the local DA, and then you've taken it to the state DA?
We did everything that we were supposed to do legally, the DA, the grand jury. By the way, they never got back to us, you know. I mean, yes, on a murder. They never got back to us or denied us. But that's understandably because Ramsey's wife was on the grand jury, too. So
isn't that a conflict of interest?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's a lot of conflict.
Yeah, pretty much. And
self-regulating cops.
Oh, man, yeah. It's
man. Well, I'm going to do a little underwriter, get into a song, then we'll get back into this.
Okay.
So thank you for everything, for coming in and sharing this.
Right on.
Youth for Justice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Friends of the Arts, a state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Deborah Lucero and Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunities through arts and culture, producing community festivals and events including Artoberfest, the True North Tour, the NorCal Jazz Festival, the Salmon Festival, and more. To learn about Friends of the Arts, visit Friends of the Arts upstate.org. And this show is also brought to you by Dr. Ken Logan, a family practitioner. Ken believes in the importance of community radio and encourages other members of the medical community to join the KZFR underwriting family. That's Dr. Ken Logan, family practitioner. Our next song is from the new Tool album. This is called Chocolate Chip Trip. All right, we're back. That was Tool with Chocolate Chip Trip. So, we're back here with David, Coco, and Addison. We're talking about the Desmond Phillip murder by the Chico Police Department and where we're at right now. Addison was talking a little bit about alternatives. Want to start on that?
What? There's a couple different, one, because I wrote a letter to the news interview. I know some people seen that. I think that's why I was asked to come on the show. But and there's a little town in Mexico called Colcheran in the state of Michoacán, where a lot of migrants come from. And I was doing research down there. They, long story short, deserves a whole show there, but they were being deforested by cartels, and they kicked out the cartels. They also kicked out political parties, the mayor, and the police, and they replaced the police with community patrols. And the thing is it's a remarkable story, because Michoacán's known as like a really crime-ridden state. Like the State Department will tell you, except for like the airport and the capital of Morelia, they're like, don't even go anywhere else. It's not safe. Like, don't go in a car. Don't go on the highway. And this is the safest municipality in Mexico since it's 2011 when they, they banished police and they kept their guns. But the principal, when I asked the Ronda Comunitaria, is like community patrols, why they had so much success, and they say it's because they patrol their own neighborhoods. Just like as simple as that, everybody recognizes them, and they don't have that sort of problem of like, you're not stumbling into a house, and you don't know what's going on, you don't know the people, and it's just like, they're like, scary black person, and you have everything that goes on here. They're recognized and people recognize them, so they don't do the same kind of things. They don't beat up 11-year-old girls. They don't have issues like that. It just seems to function. Another one worth mentioning is kind of like an experiment, experiment in radical democracy going on in northern Syria, the Kurdish people's, what they do. This is called Rojava. This region they had a. Had been experimenting, training everybody to be police officers and having a rotating system. So for a couple of years, you're police, and then you rotate out of it, and other people are trained to carry that role, with the eventual goal that everybody knows how to do it. Everybody has the same training, and nobody needs to be police anymore. And they have that kind of like internal security, because you don't have the same it kind of alleviates the relations. Like, we don't have that here. We have extreme poverty, then we have. The people, and then there's like crime in the poor areas, and then all the police are terrified about going to the poor areas, and it's all racialized throughout the United States, and I think these things are like, it's important to look at this, because everything that we're struggling with has to do with the budget. We have the police chief come in consistently back. He just was explaining how we had a crime rise after the fire, which came out to be like, this is mostly domestic violence you're talking about. Like, police are the perpetrators of domestic violence. That's like 40% of police families like have reports about it, you know. Absolutely. That's where it doesn't look as good, but he gave a report on it without concealing that information, right? Same police chief who tried to acquire like a hammerhead tank, and his justification was, we need for like drug busts. It's a psycho, honestly, as it seems like. And it was just consistently like a drain on public resources and always asking for more, and it's like, we can't set our priorities aside whenever we need to think about basic safety, and we have the people who are supposed to be most trusted in that. Like, concealing information, like turning things around, flipping things around, spinning in a way because they want to like increase the power of their police department. Mm-hmm. And it's not like...
Exactly.
Like, Chico's particularly bad, from what I understand. Something else, News and Review publishes like a ranking of kind of police departments, and we got like an F, whatever, for things like murders and for like complaints about police misconduct of all sorts. And then we have the one police chief who says we're going to have a citywide power outage and wants to have a mandatory curfew, like pioneering the concept, you know? Because
everyone, and there'd be nothing to see it.
This is the best way to ensure public safety, right?
Yeah.
Overall. But so doing like alternatives, it's not just – it's in addition to like – I mean, this is safety for the people that the police don't protect. It means we can prioritize everything else. You think like housing, security, and homelessness, like
education.
Climate change, these are all problems. Education, like these can all be addressed if we can liberate some of the public resources from the consistent drain that is the police, and the police's like need to like self justify, you know, and always increase its like influence, always increase its share of the budget. It's the last thing I'll get into, and I just like finishing my spiel here, and kind of I'm interested in alternatives to policing, and there's a lot to get into there, and I think there's a lot that like Chico, we could be like exploring these alternatives and where they are like pioneered. We could have people investigating them. We can have people coming and testify for them. But there's one. There's a proposal by a guy named Max Rameau. Rameau, like EAU. He's born in Haiti, I believe. Proposal for community controlled policing, and it's they'd have like break a city up into like policing districts, so some kind of districts. And we got into the size where we're going to have districted elections soon, so we're already like, yeah, we will have some sort of districts like that. Where then in a referendum, the people of those neighborhoods decide whether they want to keep the police force as it is or whether they want to do something else. And so if some neighborhoods, and like, I mean, I'm sure our like suburban like white neighborhoods are going to keep the same police force, a lot of people right. will, and there's a lot of people support the police, as a matter of fact, there will be some neighborhoods that won't, and then they'll have the option to take that portion of the budget, what normally would go to police, and then they can do something else with that and figure out a different system of policing themselves. And that can be with like neighborhood watch systems, that can be with a different sort of like alert system that, you know, yeah, like there, I mean, there's all kinds of things you can do with it. Or they can just decide that like police don't need to start out $70,000 a year or whatever, and we don't need to have a police chief that makes like whatever, mm-hmm, I don't know how much he makes, but it's, yeah, a lot of money, like, yeah, to me. And that, yeah, I think that's an idea we can seriously explore. And having like police boards that actually set the priorities of the police. You set the things which you want to enforce and you don't want to enforce, and we could locally decriminalize things. You could locally just say that we're not going to bust people for sleeping in a park, yes, putting up, yeah, a tent somewhere. We're not going to, and they're not going to deal with like mental health calls in the same way, and we're going to deprioritize like militarization of our like public security, and, yeah, instead hire like social workers and stuff, so we can distinguish between a mental health crisis and like a, you know, security threat, right?
Yeah. I agree with you. Agree. Totally. Yeah.
I really do.
Like, a lot of this brings back my experience in the military and how every Marine is a rifleman, and yeah, we police ourselves. If someone's messing up, we deal with it within ourselves. I mean, there is military police, but you don't, mm-hmm, go there. Like, you stay within your community, and it just makes more sense to me to democratize the financials, the organization, and the operations of our security forces, which is the police force right now. But like, we have like profit like examples of it, where people who want extra security pay other people to do that. They don't carry around guns most of the time. Like, what if like a neighborhood just tried to hire like that kind of deal and see if that works, and be like, hey, please, we got our own thing going on here, y'all don't have to worry about it. But it's like, oh, I feel as though people think, oh, you vote for your city council and they pick the police, so you don't have to worry about it. You have a say, but you don't have a say. No. That's right. Like,
I mean, try and ask a question to the police chief, yeah, you know? If it's a republic, like a public official, like ask, yeah, him a question, get an answer, you won't.
A republic, yeah, is not a democracy. Like, sure, we have representatives, but we don't have our own say. We have our own say in our representatives, but we don't have a say in...
We don't have control.
Right.
Hardly anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, thankfully, yeah, California as a state has the
recalls.
The recalls and, mm-hmm, the specific things that you can actually vote on for the whole state.
Initiatives, ballot initiatives.
Yeah, ballot initiatives. Do we have that in the city level? I wonder. And if,
yeah,
we don't,
yeah,
how can we start
initiative.
Doing that?
Yeah.
Like, say, yeah, we're good with the police, but we want to have a say. We want to form this thing. But, I mean, I don't – you two probably know way more about how it is knocking on that wall.
Boy, don't we. You know, on another note, it's, I think that they need to screen officers way more than they do. You can go out there to college for 6 months and become a cop. And that's like way not long enough. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because anybody, you take a course for 6 months and you got all this authority. You have a badge, you have a gun, and you got the state behind you. You know, and they don't screen these guys. Officer Fleer, he was in the military. He's a straight coconut. One of the guys that killed Desmond. He is. I watched him in the deposition. In the other deposition of the killing of the guy, Tyler Rushing, He actually said that he actually stated these words in his deposition that he was pissed off that he couldn't get a shot off because another officer was in the way. That's pretty scary. You know, it's pretty scary for a cop to say that. And you know, we're trying to get, you know, this new 1421. I mean, Butte County, they're not help. I mean, they're not cooperating with us. We've
and you can you explain that, what that is?
Well, yes, it's where you can get a background on the police officer if he's had any cases of excessive force or misconduct or anything like that. You know, just basically his history. But they're not, and this is a law now. It's been in effect for a year, but they're not going by the law. We made requests on all these officers over months ago and heard nothing. And even Attorney General Xavier Becerra, he's doing the same thing. He's not releasing, and he's the Attorney General. He's not releasing certain parts, and it's a law, certain parts of the, you know, the background the checks or files on of any officers. You know, and this, and that's what I said. We can get laws, bills passed, but will they act on them? Will they act on them? I doubt it, because it's too much money, power. You know, it may be a third revolution headed, and I'm serious about that. It may be, because if things don't change, I see it. Mm-hmm. You know, because you can't just keep letting people just, like, kill people and just walk, you know, and just walk because you're in this group. Blue lives matter. All lives matter. You know? All lives matter. So, I don't know. It's going to be a tough one. But
so even the state AG is stalling on y'all. So you've taken it to federal once already, and you pulled it back a little. You want to talk about
that? Well, yeah. I'm going to tell you, we're still on, you know, we're active in what we're doing, but we're going to let this AB 392 kick in, and then we're going to exercise that to see, in fact, if, you know, that is going to help us in, and many other families are waiting on this as well, to see if it's going to get some type of accountability, some type of changes, or set an example, you know what I mean? Just let's start, you know. Let's start, because 11-year-old girls, Chico PD. Before that, I think the kid was like 8 years old, Chapman Center. They had him in handcuffs on the ground. This is Chico PD. These are children you're talking about. These are kids, you know, babies you're talking about. But I seen a short video of the girl in the park, and that was crazy. 11-year-old child. And you're roughing them up like that and doing, I mean, that's excessive. I don't know if you viewed
horrifying.
It.
It's horrifying, yes.
It's
the way
terrible,
they were shouting
man.
At the other kids to get away.
Yeah, and like, these are kids. Yeah. These are, and I mean, these are babies, you know. Mm-hmm. And something's wrong up here, you know, with the person, the cops or whatever, or whoever, and, you know, and people that back them up, like the DA. These are children, you know. Mike Ramsey, his daughter pulled a gun on him, but guess what? He's a DA. He made it disappear. You feel me? You hear nothing else about that, you know. And, you know, it's things like that. You know, it's their privilege. It's Blue Lives privilege or whatever. And they got the thing, it's them against us. They're correct. It's us against them, really, because we're trying to survive, and they're out here murdering us. You know what I mean? It's they stereotype. Mm-hmm. They stereotype, and you know, like, again, I'm back on Tyler Rushing. They stereotyped him. This poor guy was here stuck 4 days in Chico from a rave concert. 4 days. He's stuck in Chico. I had the pleasure, and who would ever thought that he would be killed, but I had the pleasure of meeting him because Desmond started the feeding program down at the plaza, and I'm still doing it right now today. And I spoke to Tyler, very nice young man, you know, and they put him out to be crazy on drugs and this, whoa, whoa, whoa. But 4 days, he stopped in this Butte County town 4 days, and his life is taken, you know. And I don't know. It's we got a lot to do. We got a lot of work still to do.
Yeah. So what do you think the biggest thing that everyone in this county can do would be for this, to find justice?
To find justice,
I think people need to pay more attention.
They need to pay more attention, get involved, and, yeah. And you know, and just, I mean, they just got to stand up. I mean, really, you got to stand up. These guys got, they got people so scared in this county. I mean, they're, I mean, they got it, you know. Ramsey, he has his own funeral home over there. He's got the whole works. You know what? He runs everything. You know, they do what he say do. The cops, the chief of police, the mayor, the whole nine. They, it's like he's some king, and he loves it. You know, he feeds off of it. But yeah, the community needs to get more involved, and we need to stand up and demand. You know, not just here, but state capitol. That I'm there all the time, every event. I'm there. You know what I mean? Because I want to make a difference, and we will. We will, with the help of all our supporters. And there's a lot of people here in Chico that support the Justice for Desmond page and all the other killings, but they're scared.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're really frightened. I've had people that work for the state here, and they come up to me in the grocery stores. Hey, are you David Phillips? Yes. We're behind you. We're behind you, but we're doing it quietly. We're scared. I've had people actually tell me that, you know, and more than one occasion. And that's how they got, these cops got everybody running scared, you know, and I'm not scared. I'm not. I'm Desmond's voice, you know, and I'm going to be his voice. They can take me out. They can do whatever, but I'm going to keep on talking, and I'm going to keep fighting for my son's justice. I'm fighting for Tyler, Myra, and everybody else. Like I said, it's bigger than Desmond now. It really is. So I'm fighting for everybody. I'm fighting for justice. I'm fighting for just, you know, man, do you remember the 70s? You know, everybody used to come around. They were throwing up peace signs, peace, love. And I'm an OG. I'm the oldest one in here. But anyway, it was all about peace and love. You know, back then, you could just... They used to have a Pioneer Week here in Chico. I don't know if you guys ever heard about that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just like, people were just like... Everybody loved everybody. You know, it was just... You didn't see no color. You didn't see no racism. None of that crazy stuff, but... I don't know. It changed all the way around. Now I feel old.
Well, you exposed yourself.
There's a couple people I know that have been working with or repping like Justice for Desmond. I have a lot of respect for. I know some of them also have like a group, Cop Watch, they put on. I don't know if you'll participate in that stuff. Yeah, I'm not sure what the activities are all. Besides, they be involved in politics and be telling them. I mean, nobody in the city council will do anything but, like, lick boots for the police chief. Like, they always just, like, respectfully, you know, thanks for your, like, off-the-wall proposal to have a curfew for everybody. But nobody will just say. It's like, are you crazy? Like,
I know. It's like military, you know. I mean, Flair, he was in the military, and he must have been in combat because he's crazy. He's really nuts.
You don't even need to be. Well, as being a veteran, like, I really think they need a second.
Yeah.
They need a really double, a triple check.
Make sure who's right and who's not right to go into that field of work.
Obviously, 6 months is not a long time.
It
takes a doctor. How long does it take a doctor or a surgeon? Like, you have somebody's life in your hands. Mm-hmm. That's the same thing. You have somebody's life in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
You have a gun. You know, like, they always use that panic or, you know, fear for my life. But, I mean, you knew what you signed up for. You should have your proper training.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's on you. You picked that career.
Yeah.
I mean.
That's true.
Just saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got about 8 more minutes here. Any last things we want to bring up?
I wanted to say real quick is that David Martin and Derek Ament, they were over 25 feet away from Desmond when they came through that back door. That is why they're trying to keep them out. Because where is your fear for your life? You're over 27 feet away, and from their angle, they were shooting Desmond from the beginning. Because, again, I have bullet holes a foot high from the floor of my apartment, a foot high. And they tore out such a big section of the wall. There were multiple bullet holes in there. They tore all that out. I have photos. You know, I have pictures, photos of everything I'm talking about. But, yeah, city council, they'll say what they, you know, what, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Okay, we're voting for you.
Yeah.
As soon as they get in there, they turn, you know, like they don't know you or, you know, like you said, bootlickers or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah.
Point out something about that. I mean, we got this, like, say we got, like, a liberal majority, and this is one of the things, and it's like, I've been doing a lot of work around, like tenant union organizing and, like, work for tenants, and, like, they all kind of, like, lean towards landlords in the same way. It's just, like, there's no question. There's no divide among, like, who likes the police chief or not. We can, like, there's, I guess we don't have an alternative that, like, would say the police chief that wants to, like, you know, preemptively install a curfew, wants to get tanks, it's like he should go. We need somebody else in this position. Nobody would do it. And then we have this thing with the recall now. And I mean, Randall Stone in particular, I noticed as he shared some things on his Facebook, is like not in our town type of like saying, like kind of glorifying that he has police going through the park busting people for quality of life crimes. And like that's what the fascists say, is that kind of stuff. And this is him from what I pick up, is like he's afraid of the right wing who's coming after him. So now he's like swinging even more to the right. So it's like it pushes us further away from like an option that gives any respect to all of you for what you've been through, for what you're doing, that gives any credence to the idea that like we have like a psycho for a police chief, that there's something horribly wrong here, and this is what's taking up most of the city budget, like and the DA. We're a long way away from it being like having, you know, a dominant kind of political topic, but like we got to be like straight up about this. Like they need to fire them. And,
thank you, Addison. David or Coco, any last things y'all want to say before we head out?
Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I really appreciate you letting me get that out because, again, I'm trying to get the real story, the true story out, and just focus on some things that needs to be done here in our county.
Yes. Thank you, David.
Absolutely.
Coco, thank you. Thank you, Michelle, for getting this family in here. She was our old co-host. Thanks, Michelle. Thank you, Addison. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This is Youth for Justice. I'm Isaac Hempseed, and Youth for Justice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Chico Paper Company, a family-owned cornerstone of downtown Chico for over 40 years. Located at 4th and Broadway, Chico Paper Company features an on-site custom framing studio and art gallery showing the largest selection of local and regional artists. Chico Paper Company can be reached by calling 891-0900 or at chicopapercompany.com, and by Apollo School of Music, presenting Adult Prom 2019 with a DJ, no host bar, and a crowning of a king and queen on Saturday, September 21st at 936 Mangrove Avenue in Chico. Doors at 6 p.m. Tickets on Facebook at Adult Prom 2019 Chico. This event is sponsored by Apollo School of Music and Ko'olari Consulting, supporting Catalyst Domestic Violence Services and musical programs for children. Our song going out is Dem Atlas, Can It Fall? Have a great one, y'all. We're more than what we see.
heartbroken down so very low. Ay, 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 so am I, ay, ay. In the wintertime is all the time I got to grow. And I know it's so miserable and cold. And I recognize the disappointment in myself. I pushed everyone away so I could be alone with self. It's a cold world, it's a new day. Don't know if it'll get better, evidently got no better. And I don't know what you could say to make me wanna get up and start my days. Put everything I had into the wrong place. Gave it all away, so I gotta walk away. I don't need you now, but you should know that I've given everything that I own. And I still wish you well. Everyone we love becomes a part of us. If we lost it all, I cannot find my way. Can it be that we're more than what we see? I cannot.
Welcome to Beatle Nation.
Welcome to Beatle Nation with your host, Lucia.
Other host, Claire.
And your third host, Meadow.
That's right. And we're going to go into a song right now.
It's glitching.
So stay tuned for Beatle Nation.
Right now. Hello. So my favorite Beatles song is Strawberry Fields Forever, because like it's so pretty, and I don't know why. I learned it on the piano a while ago and I just play it all the time, and it's like it brings me to this whole other world. It's so nice. It's such a good song, and I feel like it's